When Not One Single Church Can Be Found on Planet Earth is the title Dan has given today's message. His text is Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be.
40 years ago, Ayn Rand began her classic novel, Atlas Shrugged. She took months outlining the massive story, about 5 years to write it. And from her notes were found her rationale for the book. She wrote, "The collectivists and the champions of the common man have screamed for so long about strikes, about the dependence of the industrialist upon his workers, about the workers supporting him, creating his wealth, making his livelihood possible. And what would happen to him if they walked out? Very well, I will now show who depends on whom, who supports whom, who creates what, who makes whose livelihood possible, happens to whom when who walks out." A wealthy South American mine owner, frustrated by his freedom to produce, encounters a successful steel mill owner and proposes this problem. "Mr. Reardon, if you saw Atlas, the giant who holds the world on his shoulders, if you saw that he had blood running down his chest, his knees buckling, his arm but still trying to hold the world aloft with the last of his strength, and the greater his effort, the heavier the world bore down upon his shoulders, what would you tell him to do? To shrug?" The book, then, is the frightening story of a world without the movers and shakers. Atlas Shrugged. Now, as disturbing as Miss Rand's concepts were, the Bible proposes an even more troubling one. What will happen to this world system when the restraining hand of the Holy Spirit is lifted, when Christ's bride is taken, and Satan is left to do whatever he wishes without any hindrance whatsoever? Jesus told the scenario in just a few words, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." For years now, detractors of the Church of Jesus Christ have derided both her mission and her message. Courts in America have made Christianity the one banished religion of the nation. The ACLU will passionately pursue whatever rights a rapist may have, but will deny the First Amendment rights of the church. Columnists will have a field day when a few church leaders collapse upon moral slag heaps, but will remain ominously silent about the tens of thousands of those leaders who remain righteous and compassionate. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to find out that the world didn't much like Jesus 2,000 years ago, and they aren't any more thrilled with him now. These detractors should be overjoyed to learn that one day the eternal Atlas will shrug, and the church, in a fraction of a second, will vanish from the earth. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That occurrence will take place. I don't know when, nor does anyone else. I only know the Bible says it will happen. And when it does, a series of events will hit this planet that will rewrite history. Today I propose to give you just a brief insight into some of those things. The rapture of the church will not cause activity on this earth to cease. The rapture is not the end of the world. It's only the beginning of a world such as man has never known before. The world will be left, but suddenly bereft of two things. First, the restraining hand of the Holy Spirit. And lest you doubt the reality of that hand, I refer you to your world history books at the first possible moment. Secondly, the church. The church will be gone. And by the church, I refer to that collection of worldwide believers in whom dwells the very life of Jesus Christ. Some will carry the tags of Methodists or Presbyterians or Pentecostals or Catholic or this or that. It's not the tag that will matter. It's the indwelling Christ. In one split second, every one of those living saints will vanish. You say, "Well, I just don't believe that." That doesn't change it. The Bible declares it, so you can count on it. Not only will living Christian believers be taken in that sudden moment, so will those saints who have died in the faith. Their souls and spirits went into the presence of God at the time of their passing, but their bodies, now glorified and incorruptible, are taken too. Graves will be emptied in every part of the world, but dead unbelievers will remain in their graves. Revelation 25 gives the facts, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the thousand years were finished. Those bodies in coffins at the bottom of the sea, in the cramped confines of cremation urns, or wherever, awaiting their resurrection 1,000 years later. At that time, each of those men and women will face the great white throne judgment seat of God. You should be aware that there are actually two future comings of Christ. The first, called the rapture, will happen imminently when the church vanishes. The believers meet their blessed Lord in the air, not on this earth, in the air. The next coming of Christ follows the tribulation, a gruesome 7-year period ending at Armageddon. At this second coming, Christ will appear with all those saints who vanished with him 7 years earlier. What happens on earth during this strange 7-year interlude? There'll be a sense of terrific loss. Yes, I know some writers believe that the world will not even blink, but I don't believe that. Here are the words of Jesus. I tell you, in that night, speaking of the rapture, there shall be two men in one bed. One shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. Oh, the sense of loss, the panic, the weeping. Men will search in vain for their wives. Parents will run screaming in the streets for their children. Employers will look for their workers, or vice versa. I believe that business will be paralyzed for a time. Government, schools, and other organized entities will have to restructure. In every nation of the world, there'll be a disruption of life. The salt of the earth is gone. And oh, the spiritual darkness now that the light has gone out. For the Church of Jesus Christ served this old planet as both salt and light. I submit to you that the now abandoned church building will become the most popular spot in town. Every sanctuary in the area will be packed. But there will be no one left to open the blessed book or to bring a message just prayed down from heaven. At this moment now, before the rapture, many churches are sparsely attended. The world scorns its message and its ministers. It will come when mankind will howl in anguish at the realization of the terrible loss. I submit to you that some radio station programmers will get out old tapes of Revival Time, or of Billy Graham, or of Chapel of the Air, or of Haven of Rest, or of J. Vernon McGee, and play them day and night. But it will be too late. The church will be gone. Consider the hopelessness of those left behind. God himself gave a warning in the book of Proverbs to help you see the horror of that awful day. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh, elation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Oh, I believe that many who are left behind will suddenly realize the enormity of their mistake and cry for God to give them another chance. They'll remember the sermons they've heard, including this one, I suppose. They'll cry out the door of mercy will have long since been tightly shut. And rather than answering with love and tenderness as he usually does, the Lord will laugh in derision at the plight of those who missed the rapture. You say, but Dan, the Bible teaches us that many will be saved during the tribulation. And that's true, it does. But those who have rejected salvation now, during this time of grace, will almost certainly reject it again under Antichrist rule. This is not my theory, I glean it from Scripture. The Bible says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Critic of the church, You who have called for the elimination of Christianity, or at least its banishment from public view, you'll have your wish one day. And on that day, you will fervently cry to have the church back. Any vestige of peace will be taken from the earth when the church is gone. Now, we're currently living in a time of political euphoria. It is indeed remarkable what has happened in Eastern Europe. But this is not a time of lasting peace, despite our fondest wishes. The veneer of civilization is razor thin, and the Bible warns us that when men say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. Revelation 6:4 describes that time when not one single church can be found on earth. And power was given to Antichrist to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Today the Holy Spirit, through his own power and through the Christ-indwelled believer, restrains the influence of the evil one. But when the church is gone, all the passions of hell will be loosed. Inflation will make it impossible to buy even the barest of necessities. Revelation 6:6 warns, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. It'll take a basket of money to buy one loaf of bread in that awful day. The pale horse of death will ride roughshod through the world. Scriptures say that 1/4 of earth's remaining population will perish. We have recently concluded the annual Revival Time World Prayer Meeting. It was a big prayer meeting, but nothing compared to the one that's coming when the church is removed. Here's how it's described in Revelation 6, verses 15 to 17. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the rocks and mountains, Fall on us, and hide us from the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Unfortunately, that prayer meeting will come too late. The Bible says that now is the day of salvation. Now, while the church is still in session. Now, before the groom calls for his bride, the church. Now, while the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Perhaps today, maybe it will be this hour that Jesus is sent for his bride. If so, not one Christian church will be in session next Sunday, and the day of the Antichrist will have begun. Today is the day for redemption, while the church is still here. You've heard this story many times, perhaps, and this may be the last time you hear it. Jesus is coming, and you're not ready. I'm not being dramatic, just truthful, and in your heart of hearts, you know that. Now the question is, what's your response? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, your word tells us that the hour is coming when no man can work any longer. We still have this hour, this day, this broadcast, this altar call, this prayer, and we come into your presence with a sense of urgency. I pray for one today who feels a terrific need of the Savior. For forgiveness of sins, for salvation, for the indwelling Christ. Oh, come into this life, I pray. And may the blessed assurance of salvation be realized in this friend's mind and heart. May what happens in this precious life right now be so effective that it can truly be said, I'll see you in the rapture. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.